Hi, I'm Leon Steele, and we'd like to welcome you to our study today of God's words, describing how we can enter into the eternal life of God now, how we can be completely transformed and live forever as His children. Now, I know that statement immediately turns off a lot of people who say something to the effect of, well, you know, that just can't be true, because we all know that everyone dies, and we've never seen anyone who was totally changed. And as Jesus tells us again and again, though, eternal life begins with a complete change in spirit given by God as a gift when a person believes in Jesus Christ. Then begins a change in the soul, or the mind as we most often refer to it, and finally a change of the physical body into a spirit body like that of Jesus. Salvation and eternal life is one act of God. Eternal life begins when a person is spiritually reborn with the Spirit of God, and everything else then is just a continuation of being totally changed in spirit, soul, and body. The reason it's not seen is that the spirit and soul are not visible, being of spirit. The body, being physical, does die, of course, but the Spirit of God within and the soul of the believer is eternal. The death of the body does not mark the death of the spirit and soul. The body of a believer will be resurrected and changed by God and will be reunited with the existing life of the spirit and soul, making a complete new person who is entirely transformed into the image and likeness of God the Father. If we actually believe in God and believe His word as all truth, He says that all who believe Him and who believe in His Son Jesus Christ have eternal life. Now, whom should we believe in that case? God, who has created all things, including us, or should we believe our own and other men's ideas and beliefs derived from our very limited knowledge and experience? In reality, the problem is that due to mankind's inherited nature of sin and rebellion towards God, most people do not believe in and accept the supremacy of God alone as having all wisdom, righteousness, and having all power to transform believers in spirit, body, and soul. The problem lies in man's misunderstanding of God and God's purpose in man's creation. Most people, and I'm speaking of Christianity, seem to view eternal life in one of two ways, either as disembodied, ethereal beings floating around in the air somewhere doing nothing, or as physical beings, still like they are now, except with perfect health and opportunity to physically live what people consider to be the good life. Those ideas and beliefs, along with all others not of God, again, are the result of our gross misunderstanding of God and His purpose for creating man. So we're going to present an overview today of God's stated purpose and plan for creating all that exists. And we hope you can continue with us in this study, because God has placed before us, in His Word, the complete knowledge of everything needed to enter into and to begin living eternal life now, even while we're still in these perishable human bodies. But before we continue, if you have a pen and paper close by, let me give you our phone number and address where you can get a free CD copy of today's program, and they are entirely free. We're not going to contact you or ask you for anything, but we'll be glad to respond to your questions or requests. Today's program is number 63, and you can call us at 501-316-0136, or you can write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. Also, you can listen to or you can download these programs from our internet website in MP3 audio format at www.communitychurchofgod.com. So if you missed it, have a pen and paper ready, and I'll repeat this information at the end of today's program. And we're always glad to hear from you with whatever questions or comments or suggestions you may have. Man was not created to have eternal physical life. Only the Spirit God has eternal life and is able to give that same life without end to whomever He chooses. But eternal life in the flesh was not given to man when he was created from the dust of the ground. God had a much greater purpose in creating man as a physical being, but with a non-physical soul and spirit. And that purpose was to make it possible for man to become like God. Not like God in power or wisdom, but in righteousness and eternal life. And people say, well, what went wrong that caused God's creation of man to fail? For man to turn away from God and for mankind to always be at enmity with God. Nothing failed, though. God knew every last thing that the first man and woman would do. He was not surprised in the least when Adam disobeyed the one command that was given to him to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a sad thing for Adam because death had entered into him and the woman. But Adam's fall in no way affected God's intention to make man in his own image and likeness. Now, Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27, we're told how the creation of man came about. Then God said, this is verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we're told how God created the man, out of whom he also created the woman, as we read in verse 27. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the spirit of life, and man became a living being. Notice that God first made a physical body for the first man, Adam, out of the substance of the earth. The body was not Adam's life, though, although it could have been physically alive. But then God breathed into the man, not air and oxygen, but he breathed into Adam the spirit of life. And the spirit activated everything God built into the man, both physical and non-physical. So the body, mind, and nature made a complete living being. It was the spirit God placed in the man that made him a complete living being with a body, soul, or mind, and spirit, meaning his nature. The spirit God breathed into Adam the spirit of life, which animated his soul and body, making him into the image of God. But it did not impart eternal life to Adam. That's why God himself had to be made like a man, so that man could then be made to become like God. It's widely taught that to enter into eternal life, we must change and make ourselves into better people, who will be acceptable then to God. However, we are what we are humanly by our being born with the spirit, soul, and flesh of Adam. To become like Jesus, in spirit, soul, and body, we have to be born again, this time born of God's Spirit. It is the new spiritual birth that begins the transformation of the believer. The spirit of a person, as we saw in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, is what makes a person a living being. When God breathed the spirit of life into Adam, he became a living spirit, soul, and body human being. Adam's spirit did not give eternal life, though, nor can it change the soul and body into God's righteousness and eternal life. The spirit of Adam that we all have inherited leads the soul and body into sin and death. Eternal life for believers in the righteousness of God begins in the same way, though. In the same way that we all have inherited the life of Adam, we also inherit the spirit of God through being born of him. And I want to read you a few of the many statements that Jesus makes concerning this whole subject of entering into eternal life, and he makes it as clear as it can possibly be if we believe his words. So I'm going to begin in John chapter 3. This is John chapter 3, and in verse 3, Jesus is speaking to a man named Nicodemus, a teacher of Israel's religion, and he's telling him how to enter into eternal life. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in verse 4, Nicodemus made a reply. And in verse 5, Jesus answered him. And he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That means unless we're born as a human being, as a physical human being, and also of the Spirit of God, there's no way to enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, he tells us why. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus offers no other way to see and enter into God's eternal life and kingdom than by being born again of His Spirit in the same manner we were born of Adam's Spirit. Now I'll read a few of the many statements that Jesus makes concerning how anyone comes to be born again of God. And I'm continuing now in John chapter 3 and moving on down to verse 16, where really Jesus is continuing this discussion of entering into eternal life. In verse 16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You know, there are all kinds of teachings and doctrines in Christianity saying that you have to do or say something, or you have to take some kind of action, or you need to be certified as a believer by some church to be saved and transformed. But Jesus says only that a person must believe in him. It is God's work entirely to change and transform those who submit themselves to Jesus and who trust in his saving works of salvation. The Apostle Paul has some wonderfully clear and understandable explanations of how God changes believers, and we'll look at some of them in a few minutes. But first, let me read a couple more verses in which Jesus restates his words about whoever believes in him being saved, meaning those who are born again of God's Spirit as Jesus himself was born. And Jesus also adds some more information about what happens after a person believes and his spirit is transformed. And this is in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Here Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Now, this verse contains a veritable treasury of information concerning the transformation of life that begins the moment a person believes and is born again. So let's look at verse 24 in some detail. It begins, Jesus says, with hearing his word. We have tens of thousands of different churches and words in Christianity, but Jesus says that only his words lead to salvation and transformation. The words of others can and do sound good to most of the people that hear them, but they have no life-saving or transforming power. Only the words of Jesus can teach us his truth of life. No man, no church has the power to place a new spirit of righteousness and eternal life into another person. No man or church has power to transform the mind and soul of a person into the righteousness of God by their words. And no man or church has the power to resurrect and transform the bodies of those who have died into an eternal spirit body like that of Christ Jesus. Jesus says that whoever hears his word and believes him who sent him, that is God the Father, to provide salvation, has eternal life. Notice also that Jesus puts no qualifiers or conditions into his statement, but simply says that whoever believes in him with their whole mind and heart and believes God has eternal life. That is, they already have it presently. It is God the Father who testifies to the truth and righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Father does not bear witness to the testimony of any person or church other than Jesus and his word. There is no other source of salvation. Jesus says that the person who hears his word and believes God who sent him has eternal life at that moment. And then he adds that the believer has been taken out of God's judgment of sin and its penalty of death and has passed into the eternal life of God. Now, there can be no judgment of sin in the children born of God's righteous spirit as Jesus was born. I know this is totally opposed to much of Christianity's teachings on this matter of salvation, but read this for yourself. Read it for yourself and see whether or not it's true. If you need a CD of this program to keep up with the scriptures we're covering, just let us know. They're free. We'd be glad to send you one. In John chapter 6, beginning in verse 45, Jesus tells how it is for those who have believed, who've been born again, and have entered into eternal life, even though they're still on this earth in bodies that in time will perish. The point, though, is that they are being transformed. Their soul, Their mind is being changed, and Jesus tells us that in John chapter 6 and verse 45. Verse 45, he said, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me," Jesus tells his disciples. Verse 46, "Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father." The man Jesus was from God. Before he was conceived in and born of a woman, he had existed eternally as God the Word. This is in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Let me just read that. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "In the beginning," we're told, "was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. God the Word created all that exists, both physical and spiritual. He was in the beginning with God, and he was God. And he was conceived by God in and was born of a woman in the same way we all were born. Jesus not only was born of God, but he was at the same time also God. Jesus called himself the Son of Man and the Son of God." Then in verse 47 of John chapter 6, he says again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life." Now the question is, do we believe and accept him as who he claims to be, a 100% physical human being just like all of us, a man subject to pain and physical death just like us? And do we also believe in and accept him as 100% God, who is able to save and totally transform all who believe in him? And again, I know some will say that that's just too far-fetched to accept. But read it for yourself in your own Bible, because that's the only option God has given us by which we can be saved, by which we can be given eternal life and be totally transformed into the complete image and likeness of God. I want to go back now to what I said earlier about the Apostle Paul's teaching about being transformed. For sinful and perishable man to become completely like God, we have to be transformed in spirit, soul, and body. No one is going to enter into the eternal spirit kingdom of God with even as much as one tiny particle of our old self left unchanged. It's not up to believers to change themselves, though, because we cannot change our old spirit, we can't change our soul, and we can't change our body. So let's go to Romans chapter 12 now, where Paul has written the Roman church, telling them what God in Christ Jesus had done for them. Paul is writing to people that had heard the word of Jesus and who claimed they had believed and been spiritually changed. The old spirit of sin, inherited from Adam, though, is no longer in control of those who believe. The new spirit within, born of God, is never subject to the old sinful spirit of Adam. That doesn't mean, of course, that the old spirit does not lead believers to sin, even though it's no longer in control. But the new creation of God within is born as all children are born, as babes. There's a process of spiritual maturing that has to take place in every believer, no matter what the physical age may be. In the same way we come to believe in the gospel and salvation of Christ Jesus, and so to be spiritually born anew according to Jesus' word, so too we are totally dependent on his word to nourish us in our growth. And Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, "Therefore," Paul says, "I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies," not your spirit and soul, but to present your bodies "a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." In the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul has recounted how God fundamentally changes the believer by giving him a new, holy, and righteous spirit, which is a new nature, as we call it. And Paul also has reported how the sacrifice of Christ's body has paid for all past, present, and future sins of believers. So the new man, as Paul calls him, stands before God totally cleansed and freed from the control of the old nature and its penalties of sin. The new nature lives to grow in righteousness according to the Spirit of God who dwells in all believers, according to Christ's word. Sin was part and parcel of the old spirit and life, but the new spirit and life is all about righteousness, not sin. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 now. Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." To be conformed to this world is to be controlled by the old nature and sin. It is to be still under law. The renewing of our minds is to be growing in the holiness and righteousness of Jesus Christ. The mind, or the soul, is that non-physical part of our being, and it contains our intellect, reason, our emotions, passions, morals, all the things by which the body is operated, and the mind, then, is always led by the spirit within. So the new spirit that is of God is leading and directing the mind in the direction of righteousness. The mind of the believer is being renewed day by day, action by action. You know, it may just barely be going in the direction of righteousness, but it can't go any other way. The old mind, on the other hand, always goes in the direction of sin, because that's the only way it knows. That's the only way the Spirit leads it. Someone will ask then, well, if that's the case, why do believers still commit sins? And the answer is that much of the old mind and ways of sin are still being changed. Perfection is never reached in this body because sin still remains, and the old mind still remains to a degree. But the change is continuing. And so Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now there's a progression of transformation that takes place in all believers, and it begins with trusting Jesus Christ not only to save us from death, but to change us into His righteousness. The new Spirit of God within causes a person to begin moving in the new direction of God's righteousness. God's Spirit always looks to the things of God, so the transformation of the Spirit is total and complete with the new Spirit birth and nature. However, the soul or the mind is not changed at the moment of the new Spirit birth. The transformation of the mind into the new direction of God's righteousness has only begun at that time, and that transformation will continue as long as the body lives. That's the purpose of believers still living here on earth in these physical human bodies, so that God can continue His transformation of His people. As believers, we have two essential purposes: to grow and mature in the knowledge and righteousness of Jesus Christ, and to serve God and His people. Both of those things cease with the death of the body. The spirit and soul do not die with the body, but the vehicle through which all our earthly activities are carried out, these mortal human bodies, end when the body dies. Our time here on earth in these bodies as believers is exceedingly precious, not only for personal change and growth, but it is the time that God has allotted each of us to serve His church. And that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies," not your spirit and soul, but your bodies, "a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." The New Testament writings of Peter, John, Paul, and the others tell us how to go about presenting our bodies to God and how to allow Him to transform us. And I don't have time to go into a lot of depth in these things today. And as I said, this is more of an overview, but I will continue to do that in future programs. But now I want to look at a statement of Paul's about this very thing, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And here Paul is saying to the church, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, "But we all," he's speaking here to believers, "we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord," and what he's talking about is looking at Jesus the man is what we're becoming. "We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." When God said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness," He was speaking of the one who was to come, of the man Jesus Christ, who was completely in the image and likeness of God in spirit and mind. Adam was not born of God. He was created, as was Eve. Jesus, though, was born. He was born of a woman as to his flesh, and born of God's Spirit as to his nature and righteousness. That's what Paul is telling believers they have been and are being and will be transformed into. They're being made into the image and likeness of God in Christ Jesus. Now make no mistake about this. Those who have been born of God's Spirit are being transformed in their minds. Now they're not perfect or complete yet, but they are being changed by God day by day. So, with the death and resurrection of our bodies at Christ's return, the transformation of our spirit and soul and body is complete. I'd like to close today in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul has been telling the church of the end of all who have not believed and been changed into the image and likeness of God. And in verse 20, he addresses believers and he tells them this. This is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. He said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So when a person believes and is born again, his citizenship becomes that of his Father's realm into which he is born. Now this seems to be one of the hardest truths of God for we believers to accept, that we are no longer under the rule and control of men, but have come under the rule, care, protection, and provision of our Father in heaven. It is God the Father who has called and set us apart from the world for himself, and who's caused us to be born again of his very being, his Spirit. It is God the Son who has given his physical life here on earth as a ransom for us, and who has lived, died, and been resurrected for us, having been forgiven all of our sins and having been spiritually transformed and set apart for God's use. It is God the Holy Spirit who transforms our minds into that of Christ Jesus. And it is Christ Jesus who will raise our dead bodies and transform them into eternal living bodies like his own. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21 now. Paul says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." Well, we're out of time today, but if you have a pen and paper ready, let me repeat our phone number and address where you can get a free CD copy of today's program, or of others if you like. They are entirely free, and today's program is number 63, and you can call us at 501-316-0136, or you can write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas 72019. Also, you can listen to or download these programs from our internet website in MP3 audio format at www.communitychurchofgod.com. And again, you can call us at 501-316-0136, and this is program number 63, or you can write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas 72019, or you can listen to and download these programs from our internet website at www.communitychurchofgod.com.